This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, in regard to what Jerry said about this experiential event, Randall, you had a comment.
Mostly when we look at something, and especially if, you know, you said you weren't really thinking about it, it wasn't something that you would normally expect to have been conjured up by your mind in any way. You were straight and experience this observation. Observation usually involves whatever is being seen reflecting photons off and going through our eyes and being picked up by our eye receptors and so on. So it's an independent objective reality from you. So why would you think that it's something that isn't that then?
Because it didn't look like anything normal. It disappeared in front of my eyes.
Okay. So that was that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't something separate from you. It just stopped emitting its light somehow, or it was able to vanish in some way that we don't understand. But that doesn't mean it wasn't there, or it wasn't objectively real, completely separate from you.
It wasn't there in the way you and I are here. I'll just put it that way. And I saw it, and you didn't.
Right.
By using the verb saw, maybe I should put that in scare quotes.
Oh, okay.
I perceived it. I experienced it. I don't know if I saw it in the way that I would have seen a real dog, for example.
I once saw what people would call a giant wolf. I mean, this thing was about the size of a pony. It's just one of those things that are not supposed to exist, like you say. And I observed it across the river from me in the daylight. And it went off into the and I can hear a dog barking in the background.
Yeah, that's called synchronicity.
And it was something that was real and there, but I don't know how to explain it.
Well, if I had seen it let's just assume that what you saw was an oversized real-life wolf. But I saw it didn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have been extraordinary if an oversized wolf had been in my front lawn on a summer night. There aren't any wolves around here, although I suppose that every once in a while one may wander off its usual territory. We have coyotes around here.
Right.
This was something else. This was like in the category perhaps of a ghost. It was like an apparitional thing. It didn't look solid. Just looked like... What struck me later, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this, because first of all, extraordinarily to me, shockingly to me, it took me quite a while to accept that I had seen something anomalous, because I was convinced that I could explain it, that anything that happened to me, sounds crazy, but this is the way I was thinking in those days, that yes, I could believe somebody else's testimony, but if it happened to me, it couldn't happen to me because I'd figure out what it was. So I actually spent 2 or 3 weeks doing a lot of research on animals that it was conceivable could have shown up and in our area, what kinds of cats there were around that I possibly could have seen. And I completely blanked out the fact that it vanished in front of my eyes each time I saw it.
And your wife saw this as well. Now, did you both see it at the same time, or was this an independent sighting? Wow.
I've written about this experience in one of my books, so there's a lot of detail that I'm skipping here. But, we saw it the last time, and we saw it the last time only because of an odd concatenation of events had us outside at 4 o'clock in the morning. The other two experiences happened about 10:30 p.m. on the summer night, two summer nights.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that again with us, Jerry. Do you think there's a connection between these kinds of experiences and UFO experiences? In other words, do you think one might be causal of the other, or that they're all part of the same process, maybe that comes from this third dimension, Middle Earth explanation you're talking about?
Okay.
the Middle Kingdom.
The experiential phenomenon as opposed to the event phenomenon. My impression from spending a lot of time studying this thing about it is that there's no UFO phenomenon. There are UFO phenomena. And the core UFO phenomenon probably is the close encounter of the second kind, where you have radar visual sightings, you have physical evidence that seems anomalous even after scientific scrutiny, and then the rest of it, the stuff that comprises any number of stupid cable TV shows, is the high strangeness stuff. And the high strangeness stuff is part of the experience phenomena. It is linked to experience phenomena of many centuries. It just has a different coloration and experience in certain kinds of cultural contexts and takes on a culture's idea of the otherworldly. And so the reason that we experience abducting aliens as spacemen is that that's how we define the other world. But if we had been abducted in a rural society during almost all of human history, it would have been by demons or fairies or some other kinds of supernatural creatures. So that experience would have been perceived differently.
What do you think we're dealing with then with the radar visuals? If we've got two separate kinds of phenomena and we're dealing with those core radar visuals, where a craft of some kind being tracked by a military jet and radar in some cases and being seen by the pilot as well, then that seems like something pretty independently objective of just people's minds.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree. That's why I call it the core phenomenon. The core phenomenon does appear to be physical and technological and independently verifiable through, for example, instruments and machines, as well as multiple independent testimony. And so you actually have a body of evidence that something was there, that this something had the characteristics of an advanced technology, and that is not explainable in terms of current technology, current physics, but nonetheless we have good reason to believe it's there. And in fact, there are a lot of cases like that in the encyclopedia.
So you're not trying to explain all of these sightings off as some sort of...
I'm talking about experience anomalies, not about event anomalies.
All right. So
event anomalies are something else.
So you acknowledge that what you're calling event anomalies do take place and are still very unusual.
I thought I was making that clear, but I could see that I wasn't, because I was talking about event anomalies while only briefly explaining them. But there are event anomalies, just as I think that there are genuine unknown animals that are zoological creatures that just are currently uncatalogued. Potentially we can prove that they exist and include them in the catalog of existing animals. But there are also creatures that are experienced as extraordinary animals that aren't really there in the sense that we define there. They exist in the, using the word exist loosely, in the experience category. And I think that that's the problem with cryptozoology. The cryptozoological literature is full of experience anomalies masquerading as event anomalies. And so you have all kinds of creatures that are sighted by seemingly credible, sincere people that probably aren't animals. They're just experienced that way.
Interesting.
This is very complicated. All of this is happening on a spectrum. On one side of one extreme of the spectrum is the completely imagined. On the other side of the spectrum are things that exist in this world.
We exist in this world too, sort of, I think. Or maybe we are part of the Matrix. Jerry Clark, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Talking about the extremes of reality, aren't we, Jerry?
Yes.
Right. We had author Eric Roulette on. He wrote a book called Illuminations recently, and he talks very similar to the way that you do about the way that people experience strange things, and pretty much writes all paranormal events off as something parapsychological, is what he calls it. You know, the realm of the parapsychological. It could be a telepathic thing. Is it? Are you familiar with Eric at all?
Yeah, I've read his book. I actually wrote a review of it.
Oh, yeah. What do you think of that approach? How does that compare with this idea?
Very much like the first book that I wrote with Lauren Coleman in 1975. And I thought that there aren't really many original ideas there. I think that we have this compulsion to explain things. And so we explain things in terms, if we have to, of things that themselves are not explained or are uncertainly true, or if true, we understand only vaguely. That is why in talking about experience anomalies, I'm really more interested in not the ultimate nature of these things, which I think is irrecoverable. It's just simply so far beyond knowledge that we can't get there. But if we can at least understand how it works, but how it seems to function, then we know something. When I talk about not just me, but other writers on Loom, you know, threshold experience, you don't try to explain it. You just show this is probably how this works. But you don't explain where it comes from. You can't explain how it works. But you can make an argument that this would explain things that are otherwise unexplainable. That in some way we don't understand, these things operate according to counterintuitive rules. I think that if we acknowledge, just make this simple acknowledgement, which is what the fundamental part of my argument, that yes, it is possible to experience the fantastic. Then we can talk. But if the argument begins where the fantastic things experienced are literally true, or the argument begins the fantastic thing allegedly experienced can't be true, therefore it isn't, then we have thousands of years of futile debate about anomalies.
Oh, yeah. Now I think I'm getting a clearer picture of what you're saying there, because while I definitely have to agree with you that people have these fantastic experiences, I do constantly question how those experiences take place, what they are, and our interpretation of them. And then we get into the spectrums that you've described. So really, I think we're a lot more on the same page than maybe we were thinking at first there.
Maybe it's my fault. It's a difficult thing to explain and outline, and that's why it's much easier to write about than to talk about. And I've just touched the surface of this. I have different ideas, more ideas about how it works and why we experience it the way we do.
We did dive into the deep end, so you know, having a little bit of confusion and is probably to be expected. But I'd really like to hear a little bit more about this, if you can elaborate some more.
Well, here's an event anomaly that fades into an experience. Ball light. Most physicists believe now that ball lightning exists. It has features that are very hard to understand and are puzzling, and there's, you know, and probably require a deeper knowledge of physics than we possess now. But nobody denies. But most scientists don't deny that ball lightning exists. In fact, I've even seen it. It is a physical phenomenon.
That's pretty cool, because not very many people see it. It is pretty rare.
I was driving to Minneapolis one day, and I could not believe I saw something, and I thought it was, as often happens when you see something anomalous, you at first think it's something anomalous. Fortunately, after about 2 seconds, I said, yeah, this is ball lightning, because it didn't last much more than 2 or 3 seconds. But anyway, you start with ball lightning, and then you soon discover, as we all know, that the only mysterious luminous orbs are not ball lightning. Some things have characteristics that are very strange, but the appearance of ball lightning, but apparently aren't ball lightning, that appear in all kinds of contexts, as will-o'-wisp or UFOs, or all, they have all kinds of things that have the appearance of ball lightning, but are not ball lightning. So maybe what happens is that we start with the idea of ball lightning, and then in the experience realm, in the high strangest realm, we begin with that image and do different things with it. And that although it looks like ball lightning, it is fundamentally unlike ball lightning. And I think that what happens is that anomalies, even physical anomalies, event-level anomalies, enter the cultural imagination and are replayed as experience anomalies that look on some level like the real unusual phenomenon, but act out in different ways. They just have that appearance, but their behavior and their characteristics are not those of the real-life natural phenomena that provided us with the image of the glowing ball of light. What if there is a Sasquatch, and the Sasquatch live as real-world hominids in the Pacific Northwest? What if the image of these man-like apes plays out in experience anomalies, provides an image for experience anomalies in places like South Dakota or Pennsylvania or Texas or wherever? There isn't a state in the Union anymore that doesn't have puzzling reports of ape-like creatures that are encountered in different kinds of contexts, but don't seem to be all hoaxes or hallucinations or mistakes. But the image is provided by something that may actually exist in the world. When it exists in the world, it's merely unusual and intriguing and mysterious.
But so what you're saying, essentially, if I'm getting you, is it's a misinterpretation of a natural event. What we have is a real-life phenomena that is experienced by the witness against or through the filters, cultural filters, or the filters of their socialization, so that what they're describing isn't actually literally the same as what is objectively out there, and yet we have a real thing that served as the stimulus, and we have a real experience on the part of the experiencer.
Yes, that's right. There is a French guy, his name escapes me at the moment, who proposed a hypothesis I thought you were expressing, he wrote a book on lake monsters, and he says that lake monsters, because they're so biologically unlikely, which I certainly agree, but he said that that people were just hallucinating and they would imprint this image on natural phenomena in lakes, like a log or something. Well, you know, I'm sure that's not entirely untrue. As it happens, I have a lake monster sighting in my own family, and I know the people in my family intimately. And I know the dynamics of how they think, their worldview.
We'll talk about your family and more, Jerry, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
USA Radio News.
Nobody would have ever thought this could have happened. So the federal government is behind you. We're all behind each other. I think we can truly say, Jerry. Right? And Jerry and I have been speaking, and Gavin and I have now gotten to know each other, and we're all going to work together, and we'll do a real job. But this is very sad to see it.
President Trump's reaction as he tours some of the areas that were hit hardest by some of the wildfires that have hit California over the last week. According to the Butte County Sheriff, at least 71 people have died, and there's still many more people that they're looking for that are unaccounted for. According to numerous reports, the CIA believes that the Saudi Crown Prince, ordered the assassination of Jamal Khashoggi. This goes against initial indications, and the CIA has yet to confirm if these reports are true. And in Florida, the hand recount has to be complete by Sunday at noon Eastern Time. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design, right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, I certainly hope one knows their family very well. I would say I'm an exception. I have relatives I haven't seen in years. I don't know what they do. I don't know what their status is. Maybe it's my fault. Or maybe because you live in a small town, Jerry.
No, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with just the dynamics of the family, and I don't really have much connection. My parents are dead. My cousins and stuff, they're strangers. I don't have connection with them. Connection with my wife and children, and occasionally my ex-wife, who was the cider in this case, along with my older son.
But you're saying you know their worldview and that they've had sightings of lake monsters.
They had a sighting.
Okay.
And it happened some years ago on a lake in South Dakota where my ex-wife's family's had a cabin for two or three generations. And my ex-mother-in-law, who has since died, was just looking out on the lake, and she saw something really strange. And she called her daughter, my ex-wife, and she saw the same thing that my mother-in-law was seeing. And she called my older son, and who is an adult and is about 30 or so. They witnessed this lake serpent that was about 40 feet long, and they were able to judge its length because it was near a familiar landmark. It was swimming in the lake, and they had it in view for 2 or 3 minutes, and they had a very good view of it. And I didn't learn about it because I'm not in daily contact or weekly or monthly contact with my ex-wife, but I learned about it a few years later because my ex-wife showed up at my mother's funeral. It was after the funeral, and was talking with Penny, my ex-wife, and she told me the story. And Alex, my son, who was with her, confirmed the story, and he was adding to it, clarifying details. Well, eventually I got around to rewriting about it, and I published an article in Fortean Times several years ago. And in the meantime, I had done a lot of research on 19th century lake monster sightings. And I made an interesting discovery that stories of lake monsters in the 19th century were of other words, they saw what they described as giant snakes.
Right, without the head sticking out of the water kind of thing. You know, up with a neck.
Like a plesiosaur with a bulky body and a long neck.
Yeah.
That's the modern idea of a lake monster. Well, anyway, I interviewed them and I talked with them separately and got all the details, and I talked with other people that they talked with. They were seemed to no particular, my ex-wife was in no particular hurry to tell me about this, because this stuff wasn't part of her life once I was no longer a part of it. But she told me the story, and it was interesting that she used the word sea serpent to describe it, even though South Dakota is nowhere near any ocean. And the sighting was very strange, and there just seemed to be any alternative explanation, and they were absolutely insistent that it wasn't a log or a beaver or anything like that. And later on, I realized that what they had seen was a 19th century lake serpent. The kinds of reports you don't hear much in later decades and centuries. And they also found out that apparently this monster was known by people who lived on the lake. They just didn't talk about it, but they'd seen it or heard it, and including the Indian people who this land is reservation land, and they'd known about this for a long time. But people weren't talking about it because for the usual reasons of being ridiculed. And it occurred to me that this was, I had a very hard time believing that a literal physical lake monster lives in that lake. Because if it did, I believe that we would know a lot more about it and it would be seen a lot more. But it struck me as a pseudo-cryptozoological experience. So what they had seen was like an experience anomaly. But of course, that concept wasn't in their vocabulary. So they thought they were seeing a large unknown reptile.
And yeah,
I think
that's
typical of a lot of the data in cryptozoological literature. These are not real things, but their experience is real.
Right.
And if something is really part of an ecosystem, you're going to find out about it. And the larger it is, the more likely your chances of proving its existence.
That sort of goes against the idea that it's sort of a cultural conditioning thing or a social conditioning thing, where if, for example, we're all familiar with Nessie in the picture of, like you were saying, the plesiosaur like animal sticking its head up out of the water. So you would think that if they were going to see anything like that through that particular psychological filter, that is what they would see. So,
well, the idea of the lake serpent or the sea serpent, which is the vocabulary my ex-wife used, which was interesting to me, that general idea is out there. You know, one thing about images of the extraordinary, the otherworldly, they have all kinds of different variations. They're not specific. Like they play out the theme broadly, but not in every specific detail. But the idea that some large unknown reptile could exist in a lake exists in culture. It wasn't anything that my ex-wife and my son gave much thought to, because they're not interested in these things. But they did have this experience, and I think the idea of unknown reptiles in lake is out there as a cultural concept, not necessarily as something that people believe is real, but the idea is out there, the image is out there.
Just kind of in the background, where, say, someone's subconscious might be able to pick up on it and go, hey, I think that's, you know, sort of, it reminds me of a giant snake in the water or something like that. And so that's what they think it is.
I had a question that occurs to me as we talk about your current family and your previous one, Jerry, and I don't know too many people who don't have an ex-wife somewhere. But the question would be, how did they react to your long-time interest in the strange and unknown?
Tolerated it. they just weren't. They're not interested now. Since they don't seem to, even my ex-wife don't seem to consider me crazy, they just say, okay, well, he's interested in that. Just like if I was like a baseball nut or a jazz nut or something. It's just something I was interested in and tied myself to in some ways professionally. They're just not interested. But they were certainly interested when they had this experience.
What about the idea that people who are involved in this kind of research tend to act sort of like magnets for the phenomena and have more of it, you know, more of those experiences themselves? Like, how long did it take for you to have that experience about the quadruped on your lawn?
Oh, it took about all but 5 years of my life. No, I'm not a magnet for anything.
But you've seen ball lightning. You've seen this strange quadruped. Yeah, that's more than a lot of people get to see.
I don't think so. Just talking with people. If you gain people's trust, they will tell you some very strange stories that they wouldn't tell you if you hadn't indicated that you're receptive to them. I think that these experience anomalies are part on some level of almost everybody's life experience. They take different forms, some more dramatic than others, some more frightening than others. But they happen, and we don't always even recognize them because we naturally rationalize everything that happens to us, as I tried to rationalize my experience of the ghost dog. I spent weeks trying to rationalize that away, and I believe that extraordinary experiences are possible, but even I couldn't accept it. We're just socialized not to believe in these things.
Interesting. Well, I was never socialized not to believe in them because I heard the stories from the time I was small, you know, starting with Sunday school and the incredible tales that came out of the Bible, for example. I mean, what kind of, you know, there's a lot of paranormal stuff that goes on there. And so I just thought, you know, that these really strange things can happen in the world. And then they started happening to me. So I figured, oh, well, maybe if it happens to me, it happens to other people. And you're absolutely right, Jerry. If you get talking to people, even if they haven't had an experience themselves, they know somebody who has.
We've got more to come with Jerry, Randall, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Of course, someone like a MUFON would never know about the past experiences in the family, because unless the user or the witness, unless the witness volunteers it, their questionnaire doesn't cover it all. I want to hit that very briefly. MUFON, 50 years old, they're sending me offers to have some of their people, including Jan Harzan, the director, on the show. And I'm happy to talk to the people. But what, pray tell, has MUFON accomplished in 50 years? Sherry, you're the historian. Do you know?
Well, I think that MUFON, particularly in its earlier years, attracted some of the best people in ufology, like Ted Blocher, Walt Bebb, his brother David Bebb, and Ted Phillips, people like that, who really are among the heroes of ufology. But on the other end, MUFON really had its origins in the local flying saucer club. And on one level, MUFON was a serious UFO research group. On another, it was just about flying saucer club. And I think that, you know, from what I know of MUFON, and I know there are still some good people in, because I run into the ones. But I think the Flying Saucer Club part of it just kind of dominates these days.
Are you still with QFOS?
Well, QFOS doesn't really exist anymore, except as an archive and a website. But that was the only UFO organization that I ever identified with, because QFOS was doing it the way I felt intellectually comfortable with, and I liked the people who also shared my concepts of what the problem was and how to approach it, and also to publish serious. We published a magazine, which I edited, and a journal, which was edited by the late Stuart Appel, who was a psychologist, and we put out real scholarship, and we did real investigations. And yes, we made some mistakes. We got caught up in the Roswell enthusiasm, but everybody makes mistakes. It's only if you rectify the mistakes and move on and acknowledge them that you make progress. And I just think that MUFON's acceptance of dubious claims just seems kind of out of control these days.
My impression here is MUFON, number one, is having trouble keeping the members, because they're not making a whole lot of progress from the early days. I mean, certainly, I think they started out well. I think part of it also is that they're looking at marketing UFOs as opposed to investigating them. Am I wrong?
You know, I think you're probably right. It's just that I don't pay much attention to MUFON, to be honest. But that sounds like in conformity with what I hear from other people.
I've got to ask, where do you think we as more responsible ufologists should be taking the field, or it, can anything be done? What should we do, Jerry?
Well, I think that what we do is, but this is what we're doing. I think I can define what we serious people are doing. Acknowledging that science isn't going to start picking up UFOs next week, but we can continue to study and analyze and investigate and provide the most accurate and best documented and well thought out material that we, that somebody will hand to a future generation of scientists when they're willing to take this up. And that's what we can do, because our job is, depending on how old you are, and I know how old I am, and I don't think Gene's a spring chicken either. You know, this is, our job is close to finished. It's up to the next generation or generation beyond that to continue it. UFOs won't go away, neither will other anomalies. We just have to approach them in a way that isn't crazy, that is material that others who are better trained than we are as scholars and scientists will find useful. That's how I see my encyclopedias. You know, say in the next generation, scientists want to take up UFOs. Encyclopedia will be one of the things that they will turn to.
Has it got any kind of a... electronic version, a CD that comes with it where you can search through it or anything like that? Companion CD?
You're talking to a Luddite. You'd have to go to the publisher's website or wherever. The book is being sold through usual online booksellers. I have email and internet, and that's where I jumped off the boat. But I'm sure there's the electronic version of it, yes.
Oh, that would be fabulous, because then it probably has a search feature that a person could. If it does, I'm sold already. You know, I'm sold anyhow. But if it has that, that's a bonus.
From the old-fashioned approach, there's an extensive index, so it's possible to find stuff in the book the old-fashioned way.
Right. And I'm sure it will be a fabulous addition to my library, which I fully intend on getting once it becomes available up here in Canada, which is where I am. We can't get it on Amazon.ca yet until January.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, January 2019 is saying it's coming then. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm putting Amazon gift cards on my wish list so that I can afford it.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah, check it. The site every day, it seems to be selling steadily for, which is surprising for a book of its price, but apparently people want to have it and, you know, maybe turn their life savings over to purchasing a copy. I don't know.
Oh, it's not, when you think about what you're getting, it's not really that bad. I mean, if it's that extensive, and it's we're talking hardcover here, I'm assuming, two volumes, and the kind of work that you've put into it, I don't really think that it's the kind of book that any serious ufologist should be without, personally.
Well, thank you. I hope so. I can say there's stuff in the book that you won't find anywhere else.
I could always hope you either have the credit line, or because the book is so expensive, that you could pay it out in three payments.
That would be nice.
Yeah, they do that at Sweetwater, which is a dealer of audio equipment and music equipment. So say you want to buy a new guitar, and it's $500. You can split up the payments every month to take it out of your credit card.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think my publisher's that imaginative.
You know, what else is on the horizon? Have you, besides the book, are you getting ready to do some more lecturing or out on conferences or anything like that?
I basically, what I do these days, I mean, I still write, not always about anomalies. I do a lot of writing about roots music, which is another interest of mine. But in terms of anomalies, almost all my writing is in 40 times these days.
Any speaking engagements coming up?
I live in a remote rural town in the upper Midwest. And just getting anywhere is a great big hassle. And I have done all the stuff that I wanted to do except write my last book on the subject, and I have now done that. So I'll probably be pretty scarce. If somebody wants me to speak, the last time I spoke, they actually hired a cab from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which drove all the way up to where I live, which is more than 100 miles north of Sioux Falls, drove me back, flew me out to Baltimore, and I spoke for an hour, and then they flew me back, and I thought, are these people crazy? I mean, they were nice people, very nice people. I had a very good time, and I loved the people. But they must have mistaken me for somebody important.
You are important, Jerry.
You are important, Jerry. You in the field.
Okay, seriously speaking here, and that is serious. Okay. Jerry, I assume you still don't have a website, do you?
No, when I said I'm a Luddite, I wasn't joking. I'm just not interested enough in myself to do that kind of stuff.
Well, we at least know where we can find the book, so... And we hope to have you back again in the future sometime, because you don't have to go anywhere to do a radio interview.
That's true.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for the official Paracast fan clubs, both of them. On Facebook, look for After the Paracast, that special show, which is a wrap-up show or extended interviews. And Jerome Clark will be back this week on After the Paracast. And you get that if you join the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com for more info. You also get a version of this show free of the network ads. How about them apples or pears or whatever? plus.theparacast.com to become a member of the Paracast Plus. Jerry Clark, thank you for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.